Good morning, brothers and sisters.
弟兄姊妹早安。
We live in a remarkable period in human history.
我们生活在人类历史上一个非凡的时期。
Things are happening very fast and accelerating.
那么事情发生的非常的快，并且正在不断的加速。
Knowledge is exploding. Science and technology are developing at an incredible speed.
那么知识正在爆炸，科学技术正在以令人难以置信的速度发展。
Societies and morals are deteriorating rapidly. People are worried about tomorrow and don't know what it holds.
那么社会和道德正在迅速的恶化，人心惶惑，人们不知道未来会怎样。
For those who are familiar with biblical prophecies and watchful of world events,It is clear to them we are living in the last days and we are seeing end time events unfolding right before our eyes. But for most people, they are totally unaware of what is going on and they have no clues.
那么对于那些熟悉圣经预言并且关注世界事件的人来说呢，他们很清楚我们生活在末后的日子里，我们看到末日事件正在我们的眼前开展。那么但是对于大多数人来说，他们完全不知道有什么事正在发生，他们也没有任何的线索。
We have just been through 3 difficult years with the pandemic.
那么我们刚刚度过了三年新冠肺炎疫情的困难时期。
Now that the pandemic is over, people are going back to traveling, eating, drinking, and resuming the lifestyle they enjoyed before.They want to forget the painful memories brought about by the pandemic.
那么现在疫情已经结束了，人们又回到了之前那种旅游、吃喝玩乐、享受生活里，他们要忘记疫情带来的痛苦的回忆。
Most people went through the pandemic without realizing it had significant implications for the end time, that the pandemic is paving the way for the Antichrist to come.
大多数人在经历了这场新冠肺炎疫情之后，却没有意识到它是对末世有着重大的意义的。这场疫情是在为敌基督的来临铺路。
The purpose of my sermon series on footsteps of the Antichrist is to point out that we are indeed living in the last days preceding the return of our Lord Jesus Christ.
那么我的这个敌基督者的脚步声这个讲道系列的目的呢，就是要指出我们的确是生活在主基督耶稣再来之前的最后日子。
Before we get into the second message of this sermon series, let us review some key points from the previous sermon.
那么在进入我们今天的这个信息的第二讲之前，让我们先回顾一下上一天讲到的一些要点。
The scripture this morning tells us that in the last day, a person called the Antichrist will emerge and become the leader of the world. He will be given power and authority from Satan and can perform miracles and wonders and cause people in the world to worship him.
那么我们刚才所读的经文呢，告诉我们，在末后的日子里将会有一个被称为敌基督的人出现。他将成为世界的领袖，他会从撒旦那里得到能力和权柄，能够行神迹奇事，使世人敬拜他。
A false prophet will also emerge and work in coordination with the Antichrist. He will work within the faith communities and lead them to follow and worship the Antichrist.
有一位假先知也会出现，并与敌基督勾结一起。他将在宗教团体中运作，误导他们追随和敬拜敌基督。
In Revelation 13, the Antichrist is described as the beast coming from the sea with 7 heads and 10 horns.
那么在启示录的第13章当中，敌基督被描述为从海中上来有七头十脚的兽。
In Bible prophecies, a beast represents a political power.
在圣经的预言里，兽代表着政治权力。
Preceding the emergence of the sea beast was an enormous red dragon flung down to the earth. The Greek dragon was the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan.
那么在海兽出现之前，有一条巨大的红龙被扔到了地上。这条巨龙就是那条叫做魔鬼或撒旦的古蛇。
A third character in Revelation 13 is a beast out of the earth. He has horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon. He is the false prophet.
启示录第十三章当中的第三个人物呢，就是从地里出来的兽，他有羊羔的角，但说话像龙，他就是假先知。
The sea beast opposes Christ openly and rules the world government, whereas the earth beast works subtly from inside the church.
那么海兽是公开反对基督，并统治世界政府，而地兽却是巧妙的在教会里面工作。
The sea beast will make an alliance with the red dragon and the earth. Together they form the evil trinity to imitate the Holy Trinity God.
这个海兽与红龙和从地中出的兽结盟，他们一起形成邪恶的三位一体，模仿神圣独一的三位一体的真神。
Revelation 13 tells us the Antichrist will be given power and authority from Satan over the entire humanity.
在启示录的第十三章当中告诉我们说，敌基督会从红龙，也就是撒旦，那里得到权柄和权力，统治整个人类。
The Antichrist will have power in four areas.
那么敌基督会得到四个方面的权力。
Political power, he will control a global government.
政治权力，他将掌控一个全球政府。
Economic power, he will put out a digital cashless currency.
经济权力，他将推出一个无现金的数码货币。
Religious power, the beast worship will be enforced through his image, which can bleed, speak, and kill.
宗教权力，强逼人拜兽像。这兽像有生气，能说话，并且杀人。
And he will also have the high technology and artificial intelligence as his power to do global surveillance, networking, and real-time data processing to carry out his orders.
那么高科技和人工智能将成为他进行全球监控、联网和实时数据处理以执行他命令的工具。
Last time we dwelt on the Antichrist's future economic power. Today's emphasis will be on his political power.
那么上一次呢，我们详细讨论了敌基督未来的经济的权力。今天的重点将是讲他的政治权力。
Does the Bible prophesy a one-world government and a one-world currency in the end times?
那么圣经有没有预言在末世会有一个世界政府和一种世界货币呢？
The Bible does not use the phrase one world government or one world currency in referring to the end times. It does, however, provide ample evidence to enable us to draw the conclusion that both will exist under the rule of the Antichrist in the last days.
圣经当中并没有使用全球政府或者是全球货币这样的词语，然而圣经提供了充分的证据，使我们能够从中得出结论，在末世这两者将在敌基督的统治之下存在。
I'm going to skip some parts for time's sake. Once entrenched in power, the beast that is the Antichrist and the power behind him,which is Satan, will move to establish absolute control. He will demand people to worship him. In this process, Satan moved towards his goal of being like God and equal to God.
那么为了节省时间，这位李长老就跳过了几页。那么一旦掌握了权力，这个兽也就是敌基督和他背后的力量也就是撒旦 就会采取行动，建立绝对的控制权，强迫人来拜他。在这个过程当中，撒旦就迈向他要像神一样，并与神同等的目标。
To truly control humanity, financial transactions must be controlled. Revelation 13 describes how this will happen. Everyone, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, will be forced to receive some type of mark on their right hand or on their forehead in order to buy and sell.
那么要真正的控制人类，就必须要控制金融交易。在启示录的第十三章当中描述了这将如何发生。每个人，无论大小，富人还是穷人，自由人还是奴隶，都将被迫在右手或额头上接受某种标记，以便进行买卖。
No doubt, the majority of people in the world will receive the mark.Simply to survive. This new system of commerce will be universal, it will be compulsory, and will be associated with the worship of the beast.
那么毫无疑问，世界上绝大多数的人仅仅是为了生存呢，就会接受印记。启示录十三章十六节很清楚地说明，这将是一个全球的系统。世上的每一个人，无论大小贫富，将在手上或额头上带着印记。
The present time is ripe for rolling out the mark of the beast financial system, because today's biomedical and computer technology can easily and rapidly accomplish the functional requirement of the mark of the beast.
那么目前推出受印金融体系的时机已经成熟了，因为现今的生物医学和电脑技术已经可以轻而易举地完成受印的功能要求。
If you have your eyes open, you will see this development happening right before your eyes.
如果我们睁大眼睛，就会看到这些事情正在我们眼前发生。
In my last sermon, I pointed out that China has already launched a digital yen currency on an experimental basis 2 years ago.
那么上次在我讲到的时候已经指出，中国已经在两年前已经测试性的推出了数字人民币。
The European Union is preparing to go with its European Digital Identity Wallet in 2024, enabling all its citizens to store digital identity credentials, including their national ID, driver's license, personal profile,and bank account details, according to the EU charter.
那么根据欧盟的消息人士讲呢，欧盟正在准备在2024年启用他们欧洲数字身份钱包，使所有的欧盟公民都能够存储数字身份凭证，其中包括他们的国民身份证、驾驶执照、个人资料和银行账户等详细的信息。
As for the United States, the Federal Reserve,will roll out the FedNow digital currency service late this month, that is, this week. Through this system, though this system will initially be offered only to banks and credit unions to transfer funds for their customers, it will not yet be offered to individual consumers and businesses.
那么至于美国呢，美联储将于本月底，也就是这周推出 FedNow 这个数字货币服务，尽管这个系统最初仅是会提供给银行和信用合作社，作为他们客户转移，为他们客户转移资金使用，还尚未向个人消费者和企业提供服务。
A very recent report showed the present status of CBDC, that is central bank digital currency, the status in the world.
那么最近的一份报告显示了中央银行数字货币在世界范围内的一个状况。
This is a map of the present status of CBDC in 130 countries in the world.
那么这个 图表就是130个国家的央行数据货币的现状。
Our 130 countries, with the exception of 16 inactive and 2 canceled plan, all 112 have started this program.
所以在这130个国家当中，除了16个没有行动的和2个取消了行动的国家呢，有112个国家正在进行当中。
11 countries have already launched it.
其中有11个国家已经开展了这个。
I'm surprised to find out that these 11 countries include two small countries, Ecuador in South America and Nigeria in Africa.
但我很惊讶的是，在11个已经开展的国家当中呢，居然包括2个很小的国家，一个是在南美洲的厄瓜多尔，一个是在非洲的尼日利亚。
China, Russia, India, Australia, and Saudi Arabia actually are ahead of the United States and EU.
那么中国、澳大利亚、阿联酋、印度，那么他们是在美国之前，行动在美国之前。
We are still in the development stage.
那么我们还在这个筹备发展的过程当中。
Digital currency is essential in controlling people. It can do the following amazing or terrible things.
那么数字货币对于控制每一个人是至关重要的，它可以做以下令人惊奇或令人害怕的事情。
It can track when, what, where, and how everyone gets and spends their money.
它可以追踪每个人在什么时候、什么地点、用什么方式得到和使用他们的金钱。
It can electronically, wirelessly, and digitally deliver, confiscate, or turn off one's digital money.
它还可以通过电子、无线和数字的方式交付、没收或者是关闭一个人的数字货币。
It can forbid one from buying certain things or getting certain services based on one's social credit score, that is, whether you are considered a good citizen or not.
它还可以根据一个人的社会信用评分，也就是你是否被认为是一个好公民，来禁止一个人买卖某些东西或者是获得某种服务。
The above are just some of the examples.
那么上面呢只是一些例子。
However, digital currency alone cannot fulfill all the purposes required by the Antichrist mark of the beast system.
那么然而尽管仅仅靠数字货币并不能满足敌基督受印系统要求的所有目的。
The mark of the beast system needs to be able to identify each person in the world individually and track the person's location on earth.
这个受印系统需要能够单独的识别世界上的每个人，并知道这个人在地球上的位置。
And this will require everyone to be equipped with a digital ID that is wirelessly connected to a remote supercomputer. It will be like wearing an electronic cuff by people under arrest.
那么这就需要每个人都配备一个无线连接到远程超级电脑的数字身份证，就好像被捕的人要戴上电子手铐一样。
Guess what? Governments of many countries have already come up with action plans for digital ID.
那么我们猜猜怎么样？许多的国家政府已经计划好要推出数字身份证了。
Well, I just received this report 2 days ago when I was about to finish my sermon. It says the CEOOf a company that do eye scan the irises say world ID is coming, whether you like it or not.
那么在准备我这个讲道的两天之前呢，我收到了这个这篇文章这个消息，就是说想要扫描你的虹膜的公司的总裁已经表示了，无论您喜欢与否，世界身份证即将来临。
Look, if you look at the date of the left bottom corner, it is July 21st.
你可以看一下下面链接里面的时间是7月21日。
What a coincidence.
这是一个巧合啊。
In the spring of 2022, there was a summit meeting held by the United Nations on digital strategy2022 to 2025. The UN was calling for its member nations to come up with their digital ID card that will be globally connected.
2022年的春天，联合国召开了数字战略2022-25峰会。联合国呼吁其成员国推出可以和全球互联的数字身份证。
And on March 21st, that is 4 months ago, the U.S. Senate introduced a bill S-884, Improving Digital Identity Act of 2023.
那么四个月之后的3月21号 ,2023 年，美国的参议院提出了 S-884 法案，并称之为2023年改进数字身份证法案。
If you want more information, you can go to this website below.
如果想要了解更多的详细内容，可以浏览下面这个网页。
The following is tell us about the United Nations digital ID.
那么这个就告诉我们了，是联合国全球数字身份证的。
Digital transformation is changing the way we manage our data, our information, our interactions, and our identities online. The United Nations is ready to digitally transform how it deals with identity, with a system to streamline information sharing, daily workflows, access to platforms and buildings, operating across agencies, by providing its personnel with a universal system-wide identity solution. Introducing the UN Digital ID.A unique and digital identity for UN personnel from the day you join to the day you part. All of your personal, HR, medical, travel, security, payroll and pension data in the palm of your hand, giving you full control on what you share and with whom. With blockchain and biometrics, the UN digital ID makes verification efficient, secure, transparent, immutable, portable and universal. It's been piloted by different agencies and the UN Pension Fund,where they replace current manual processes with certainty for who and where pension recipients say they are at any given time. As innovation transforms the world, we can improve the way we manage our identities online. UN Digital ID, a building block for digital cooperation, unlocking the promise of the SDGs.
The reason I show these videos in my sermon is to prove that these are not speculations.There are actual events happening.
那么我把它放到我的这个讲道当中呢，这个视频的目的就是想让大家知道这个事情是真实的，是在发生了。
Just a month ago, on June 25th, 2023, I read a new United Nations report titled UN Pushes for Global Digital System to Boost Financial inclusion.
那么就在一个月前呢，2023年6月25日，我读到了一篇新的报告，联合国推动全球数字身份系统促进金融包容性。
I think the United Nations want to upgrade its proposed digital ID plan to include financial services.So this will have the ability to combine digital currency, financial services, and digital ID into one.
我认为呢，联合国是想啊更新他们的这个报告，然后把金融方面也包括进来。那么它的目的呢，是将数字货币、金融服务和数字身份证合而为一。
If you want more information again, you can go to this website, but I don't have time to go into it.
如果你们想了解啊详细的内容，可以浏览下面的网页，但是我们今天没有时间了。
The UN proposal aligns with the World Economic Forum's effort in biometrics, such as fingerprints or facial features for accurate and secure identification.
联合国的提案与世界经济论坛在指纹或面部特征等生物识别技术方面的努力是相一致的。他们的目的是要实现准确安全的身份识别。
A year ago, the World Economic Forum published an article suggesting that it would be a solid, rational move for children to be implanted with microchips.
那么世界经济论坛在一年前发表了一篇文章，暗示将微晶片植入儿童的体内是一个坚实理性的举动。
The article suggests implantable technology delivers superpowers to kids and could make them superheroes.
这个文章建议呢，植入式的技术可以为孩子们带来超能力，并能使他们成为超级英雄。
Oh yeah, kids, you want to become Superman.
是的，孩子们的确是想成为超人。
And many parents want their children to become Superman too.
有些家长也想让他们的孩子成为超人。
I don't have time to elaborate on this, but again, you can go to this website below for more details.
我还是同样没有时间详细的说明这一点，但是大家可以去浏览下面的这个网页。
Is this a prototype mark of the beast?
这是否就是兽印的雏形呢？
Well, it looks like.
看起来是的。
Now, there's another report. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla explains Pfizer has a new technology. Now, Pfizer is the company that put out the COVAX vaccine in the past few years, and many of us have taken that.
那么辉瑞药厂的首席执行官 Albert Bourla 那么向世界经济论坛解释说，他们推出了一个新的技术。那么 Pfizer 就是我们新冠前几年前的新冠期间制作疫苗的公司，我们在座的应该也有为数不少的人注射了他们的疫苗。
So what does this new technology Pfizer has called injectable pill?
那么这个新的科技呢，叫做可摄入药丸。
It is a pill with a tiny chip that sends a violent signal to relevant authority when the drug has been digested.
他说呢，这个新技术是一种带有微型芯片的药丸。当药物被消化的时候，它会向有关当局发送无线信号。
And he says, particularly, imagine the application.
那么他还特别的强调说，试想一下，这个服从的比例。
Yeah, imagine the application and the compliance.
就是说，让我们去试想一下，它这个有多大的百分比是可以实现的。
Listen to what he said.
我们听他说。
It is a basically biological chip, but it is in the tablet. And once you take the tablet and dissolves into your stomach, sends a signal that you took the tablet. So imagine the applications of that, compliance. These first companies to know that the medicines that patients should take, they do take them. It is fascinating what happens in this field.
Well, a one world government is taking shape.
一个全球政府正在形成当中。
The idea of forming a world government has been around since the end of World War I. Heads of states came together to form the United Nations.
那么在第二次世界大战结束之后，组建一个全球的世界政府的想法就一直存在。多国的元首聚集在一起，成立了联合国。
Actually, the idea started long, long time ago, back thousands of years ago in Genesis chapter 11, when Nimrod tried to gather everybody in the world together to build a power Bible.
其实呢，这个概念在很早很早以前，几千年前就已经有了，在创世纪的第十一章当中，当人们在一起聚集在一起来建造巴别塔的时候。
The World Economic Forum is an international non-governmental and lobbying organization for multinational companies based in Switzerland.
世界经济论坛是一个国际非政府的游说组织，为总部设在瑞士的跨国公司服务。
It was founded on January 24, 1971 by a German engineer by the name of Karl Schwab.
他是在1971年的1月24日由德国的工程师 Klaus Schwab 创立的。
These two organizations have been working together, combining their political, economical, technological power and talents. They have become a very powerful force.
那么这两个组织在一起努力合作，将他们的政治、经济、科技力量和人才结合在一起，就形成了一个非常强大的力量。
The UN is seeking, now is seeking power. Okay, it's seeking approval from its member nations for emergency power, allowing it to lead a common agenda.For all the nations, during any complex global shock, such as a new pandemic.
那么联合国现在正在寻求权力，联合国正在寻求其会员国的批准，授权给他紧急的权力，可以在任何复杂的全球性动荡的情况下，比如说新的大流行病的疫情，要按照他的共同议程领导所有的国家应对冲击。
The plan is to be finalized in a September 2024 summit of the future, where the UN will adopt a pact for the future.
这个计划将会在2024年9月未来峰会上最终确定。
A UN paper gives several examples of what could.Trigger the emergency authority, including major climatic events, future pandemic risks, a global digital connectivity disruption, a major event in outer space, and generic unforeseen risks, so-called black swan events.
在一份联合国的文件中列举了几个可能触发应急情况的例子，其中就包括重大气候事件、未来大流行病疫情风险、全球数字连接中断、外太空的重大事件，以及不可预料的风险，也就是黑天鹅事件。
So, what kind of power is United Nations trying to get? It goes on to suggest.That the United Nations would have the power to oversee the stakeholders of the world, including academics, governments, private sector actors, and international financial institutions to ensure there is a unified global response to whatever the crisis is declared.
那么联合国在寻求一种什么样的权利呢？他还建议联合国有权监督世界上的利益相关者，包括学术界、政府、私营部门行为者和国际金融机构，以确保对任何危机采取统一的全球应对措施。
It also says that while the emergency authority would have an initial finite lifespan, the UN would be able to extend it indefinitely if it saw fit to do so.
这个文件里面还指出，虽然紧急权力最初有一个有限的时期，但是如果认为有必要的话，联合国将能够无限期的延长它。
Wow, they're trying to grab power.
他们真的是要汲取权力。
Have you heard about the Global Great Reset?
我们大家听过全球大重设这个概念吗？
This is a term that has been circulating around the world for the last few years.
在过去几年呢，这个词汇非常的流行。
Many of you have heard about it, but many of you don't know what it is.
我们当中应该有很多人听过，但是大家应该不是很清晰的明确它到底是指的是什么。
The Great Reset is a term referring to the global initiative or concept to rethink and reshape the global economic, social, and environmental system to address grand challenges such as climate change, inequality, and sustainable development. The term was the first introduced and widely discussed at the 2020 World Economic Forum annual meeting.
那么大重置也就是 The Great Reset。这是一个术语，它指的呢就是一个全球性的倡议或概念，它的目的是在重新思考和重新塑造全球的经济、社会和环境体系，目的是应对重大的挑战，比如说像气候变化、不平等和可持续发展等问题。这个术语在2020年世界经济论坛的年度会议上首次引入并获得广泛的讨论。
The core idea of the Great Reset is to redefine how economies and societies function through cooperation, innovation, and sustainable development to promote fairness, inclusivity, and sustainability.
这个大重置的核心理念是通过合作、创新和可持续发展的方式来重新定义经济和社会运作的方式，目的是促进公平、包容和可持续的发展。
This includes changing business models, driving the transition to green energy, promoting social equality, investing in education and technology development.Among other initiatives, the Great Reset emphasized the need for collaboration among governments, businesses, academia, and civil society to achieve global transformation and reform.
那么其中包括改变商业模式，推动绿色能源转型，促进社会平等，投资教育和技术发展等。大重置也强调了政府、企业、学术界和社会各界的合作，目的是实现全球性的转型和改革。
This seems like a good idea to do, but we need to know they are not God's way, and Satan is the ruler of this world, where he controls everything.
那么这些看起来呢是个好事情。但是我们需要知道，他们并不是从神而来的方法。撒旦是这个世界的掌权者。
The Great Reset Project was launched in June 2020, featuring a video of the then Prince of Wales Charles giving the opening address.
大重置项目呢，是在2020年6月启动的，播放了当时的威尔士亲王查尔斯发表。开幕致辞的视频。
Here is his opening address.
那么这个就是开幕致辞。
We have an incredible opportunity to create entirely new sustainable industries, investing in nature as the true engine of our economy.
The current global crisis that disrupted every aspect of our lives. But it has also presented us with an extraordinary opportunity, a chance to reset and accelerate efforts to improve the state of our world.
Changing our current trajectory will require bold and imaginative action, together with determination and decisive leadership. In order to secure our future and to prosper, we need to evolve our economic model, putting people and planet at the heart of global value creation. If there is one critical lesson we have to learn from this crisis, we need to put nature at the heart of how we operate. We are on the verge of catalytic breakthroughs that will alter our view of what is possible and profitable within the framework of a sustainable future. We need nothing short of a paradigm shift, one that inspires action at revolutionary levels and pace. We simply cannot waste any more time. The only limit is our willingness to act. And the time to act is now.
Well, we now go to the biblical perspective on the global reset.
那么下面我们要讨论一下全球重置的圣经观点。
We will play an interview of Dr. Jeff Kinney by the Christian Broadcasting Network.
那么我们要播放一个视频的一个视频是对杰夫金利博士的一个采访。
Dr. Jeff Kinney has long served the Lord as a pastor, Christian author, and guest speaker.
杰夫金利博士呢，几十年来一直是以牧师、基督教作家和客座讲员的身份来侍奉主。
He's a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary, and he has written about 40 books.Many of which are bestsellers. He's an expert and authority on biblical end time prophecy.
他毕业于达拉斯神学院，著有约40本书，其中有很多都是畅销书。他是一个圣经末日预言的专家和权威。
The following is his interview with Christian Broadcasting Network CBN on the topic of the Great Reset.Antichrist and the global world government.
那么下面就是杰夫金利博士接受基督教广播网频道 CBN 就大重置及基督和全球世界政府等话题的采访。
The interview was conducted in English and had no Chinese subtitles.
那么这个采访是用英文来进行的，并且没有中文的字幕。
Since this interview has good spiritual insight.For us, and is a key part of today's message. Therefore, we will reconduct the interview in Chinese afterwards.
由于这个采访给我们带来了很好的属灵洞察力，也是今天信息的一个关键的部分。那么我们稍后呢会再用英文来重演这个采访，用中文来重演这个采访。
Okay, now we'll watch the English interview.
我们先来看英文版。
Followed by the Chinese.translation.
一会儿再看中文翻译。
Jeff Kinley, you have got another amazing new book. I feel like you've installed Global Reset. Do current events point to the Antichrist and his worldwide empire? That is a title and a subtitle that will definitely grab attention. Why did you want to dive into this book now?
Well, great question. With my co-author, Dr. Mark Hitchcock, we came together and just sort of...in a synergistic kind of way. We're both looking at the world and seeing what's happening out there and seeing like that things are coming together with a velocity that we've not seen in modern times. And with the way the world is shrinking and things are happening much, much faster than ever before, it just seemed like the right time to write a book about this whole idea of global reset because a lot of people are talking about it.
Well, and let's dive into that, because for a long time, for decades, a lot of people in the theology world looking at the end times would talk about this idea of a one-world government, of the world sort of coming together and the Antichrist rising. You know, I don't want to oversimplify it, but essentially that's part of the theology. And here we are in this really interesting time frame in which the Great Reset is this thing that is out there and it's been talked about. And some people have an assumption that this idea that a Great Reset is happening is somehow a conspiracy theory, but it's not a conspiracy theory. It is happening. Can you tell us a little bit about what the Great Reset is?
Yeah. Well, we like to say it might be a conspiracy, but it's not a theory. That's really what's going on here. And really, it's unlike past times that people have looked at, like the United Nations or the League of Nations or European Community, those type of things, and thought, well, those things could kind of be foreshadows. But now what we've got going on is this call for a Great Reset. But essentially what that means, it comes out of a man by the name of Klaus Schwab, who is the founder and president of the World Economic Forum. He founded this organization in 1971, and every year since then, they've been meeting in Davos, Switzerland, with all the global elites flying in from all over the world, discussing how can they change the world fundamentally. And he's come up with this idea called the Great Reset. And of course, people who have computers know that sometimes you have to reset your computer or reset your phone to kind of reboot it again so it can work properly. Well, they believe that the world is not working properly. It's not equitable. It's not honoring the planet. It's consuming too much energy and too many natural resources. So what they want to do is they want to reset the whole planet and basically replace capitalism with socialism, replace nationalism with a one-world government, and they want to essentially make all people, in their words, equal before under one government. And, of course, we know that that's not really possible because there's not the Prince of Peace who's controlling all this, but that's the idea. They want to reset the world. They want to take it away from basically what it's been for centuries and remake it in their own image.
Yeah, and it's interesting looking at all of this in light of COVID, right? COVID was something that, you know, really sparked a lot of conversation. Well, how does the world respond to this? What do we do next time there's a pandemic? So talk about that a little bit, just how COVID, maybe in a reaction to it, sort of plays into some of the theories and ideas here.
Absolutely. Yeah, COVID really was the catalyst in this whole thing. In fact, right on the heels of the COVID pandemic, Klaus Schwab, this president of the World Economic Forum, came out and said that this pandemic represents the very crisis needed in order to seize control of all the world governments, for all of them to come together into one entity. Tony Blair, Gordon Brown, the former Secretary General of the United Nations, they all came out and said what we need now is a one-world governance. And that's a key word here that you'll need to remember, is the word governance, because that means that there's a small group of people that essentially are telling the rest of the world what to do. So what COVID did was it gave them the opportunity, because it created this massive worldwide crisis. And they all seized upon the crisis in different varying ways. And one of the things that we saw, Billy, was the rapidity of how quickly this whole thing spread. With just the technology that is existent today, and how with every government, everybody got on board for the first time, really in decades, perhaps in history, the entire planet was talking about one thing. From every nation to every neighborhood, we were all on the same page. And that is exactly the kind of crisis and chaos that they're looking for in order to bring in this one world government.
Well, and so it's interesting because you have sort of the human attempts, right, to fix the world, and they may be completely disconnected from an awareness of any sort of theology, right, or ideology on the other side. You have this stuff happening. We have no idea, is this definitively part of that? Is it not? But what we can say is that it's paving the way toward what appears to be something that Scripture tells us will happen. Can you talk a little bit, and I know this is a big, we've talked a lot about this, you and I, it's a big topic, but when it comes to the Antichrist and the one world government, talk a little bit about what we see in Scripture and what you believe the Bible is telling us will happen.
Yeah, Scripture gives us a pretty clear indication about what we're going to see in the very last days of human history. But you have to rewind all the way back to where it all began. There's a spiritual element behind all this information right now. And it really begins in heaven, Billy, with Satan's rebellion against God. And we read about that in Isaiah chapter 14, where he wanted to ascend to the throne of God and wanted to be like the Most High. When God cast him down to earth, the Bible says that the kingdoms of this world became the kingdoms of Satan. In fact, we see Satan trying to bring all the nations together in Genesis 11 under Nimrod to try to build this Tower of Babel. And God scattered them. He says, no, I don't want all the nations to come together like this. When Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, it's interesting that Christ did not, he didn't deny that. He didn't deny that Satan had the opportunity or the authority to do that. In fact, Satan even said to Jesus, these are my kingdoms to be able to give to you. Well, the Bible calls Satan the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. Jesus called him the ruler of this world. So Satan has control of these kingdoms of the world right now. And one day the Bible says he's going to offer them to one man. And this one man, unlike Jesus, is going to accept that offer. So scripture says there's going to be essentially a 10-nation confederation that's going to represent the nations of the world in the end times. It's going to be ruled over by one single man called the Antichrist. And that essentially will control everything that goes on in the world, everything socially, economically, religiously, morally, and eventually he's going to require them to worship him, which is Satan's ancient ambition anyway, is to be worshipped. So he's going to receive that worship through Antichrist. So what we see right now is simply the infrastructure of that one world government. There are calls for that. And it's interesting, as you said, you know, these are not pastors who are saying these things are going to happen. These are people that are in the secular world, even pagans themselves, these global elites saying, we want this to happen now. And so they're actively pushing for it, and they have represented the most every government on the planet. Our own president, Joe Biden, ran on a World Economic Forum's a motto called Build Back Better, the idea that we tear it down, we build it back better. So it's all coming together nationally, internationally, to bring about the Great Reset.
You know what's so interesting about the Great Reset and all this conversation, you know, Jesus' death and resurrection provides us an individual Great Reset that we can have if we choose it, right? And then you have God offering a major Great Reset at the end of days, right? And that's sort of the true Great Reset. Can you speak a little bit about what we see at the end of Revelation? Because I think there's a lot of confusion and people don't necessarily understand where things end up in the end.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think a lot of listeners right now, a lot of viewers will be saying, well, if I could just make things right in the world, when's God going to make things right? And the scripture tells us in Revelation 19 that Jesus Christ is going to return at his second coming. He's going to bring justice and retribution to his enemies. And the scripture says he's going to cast Satan to a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And then six times in Revelation 20, it says there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on the earth. And Billy, during that time, God's going to reset the world here initially. The God who created the world is the one who can obviously reset the world. And so there's going to be a kingdom of 1,000 years. There's going to be peace, prosperity, righteousness, justice, love, happiness, and most of all, we get to be with God. And I think for every Christian, that is the answer to the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth as it is in heaven. So God's going to come. He's going to bring his great reset, but it's going to look a lot different than Satan's.
All right, so last question for you. As we dig into, go back to this book, you know, the great global reset, rather, global reset to current events point to the Antichrist and his worldwide empire. As we talk about that text and everything we just discussed, at the end of the day, what is your hope for the reader?
Yeah, the hope of the reader is, number one, to be informed. Many of Paul's epistles were written to simply inform them about what's happening. The more information that we have about what God says, the more we can process that information. So to be informed. Secondly, is to be prepared, is to know what's coming, to understand that I don't believe we're going to go through the time where this global reset is going to happen completely. But at the same time, we need to be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ and realize that the time is short. I mean, we all have a certain limited time on the earth, but we may have a shorter time than we anticipate. So just using the time and making the most of our days and serving the Lord. I tell people, yeah, keep having babies, keep getting married, go off to college, do whatever you need, think that God is leading you to do, but live each day with a sense of faithfulness. And then finally, just anticipate what the Lord's going to do when he comes back, because not only is he going to reset the world, he's going to completely remake and reset us individually. But that doesn't have to wait till the end of time. Each person can connect with God spiritually right now and enjoy their own personal reset. I think it's an important thing to do.
What a great way to close it out. Jeff Kinley, thanks for taking the time today. We'll be seeing you again, I'm sure, very, very soon.
My pleasure. Thanks, Billy.
Now we will have Dr. Kinley's interview we conducted in Chinese.
那么现在我们将用中文重新进行金立博士的采访。
Sister Doris will act as the CBN interviewer, and Brother Eddie will act as Dr. Kinley.
那么 Doris 姐妹呢，就是我将担任 CBN 的采访者 ，Eddie 弟兄将扮演金立博士。金立博士，你又有一本书，非常的令人惊叹的新书了，感觉你像疯狂的一样出书，而且他们都非常的出色。这本书的名字呢，叫做《全球重置：当前事件是否指向敌基督及其全球帝国》。这个标题和副标题肯定会引起很多人的注意。请问你为什么想要现在着手写这本书呢？
哦，这是很好的问题。我和我的合著者 Mark Hitchcock 博士一起合作，我们一起看到这个世界，看到事情发展速度超乎我们在现代社会所见过的，看到世界正在缩小，事情正在比以往任何时候都要快速的发生，写一本关于全球重置的书似乎是正确的时机，因为很多人都在谈论这个话题。
好的，让我们深入探讨一下。因为在很长的一段时间里，对末世论的人们一直在谈论世界各国走向统一和敌基督崛起的想法。当然，我不想过于简单化，但基本上这是末世论的一部分。而现在我们正处于这个非常有趣的时刻里，大重置是其中一个有关这方面的事情。有些人认为这种大重置的看法是属灵阴谋论，但它并不是阴谋论，它正在发生。你能告诉我们什么是大重置吗？
好的，我们喜欢说这可能是一个阴谋，但它并不是一个理论，这就是现在正在发生的事情。与过去不同的是，人们曾经关注过像联合国、国际联盟，甚至世界经济共同体等的事物。我曾经认为，这些事物可能只是一些先兆，一个影子。但现在我们所看到的是一个最大重置的铺垫，基本上这意念来自于一个叫格劳斯施瓦布的人，他提出了这个想法。他是世界经济论坛的创始人和主席，他于1971年创立了这个组织。自那时起，这个组织呢每年都在瑞士达沃斯举行会议，全球精英从世界各地飞来，讨论如何从根本上改变世界。他提出了这个叫做大重置的想法，但当然有电脑知识的人们都知道，有时候你需要重置你的电脑和重置你的手机，以便他们能正常运作。他们认为世界没有正常运作，它不公平，他没有爱惜地球和大自然，他们消耗了过多的能源和自然资源，所以他们想要重置整个地球，基本用社会主义取代资本主义，或用一个世界政府取代民主主义。他们想要让所有人在一个政府管理之下成为和平。当然我们知道这理想实际上是不可能的，因为地上没有一个和平之君来统治这一切，但这就是他们的想法。他们想要重置世界，他们想要将它从多个世纪以来的基础上拔起平去，按照他们自己的想法重新塑造世界。
是的，从新冠疫情的角度来看，这一切的确很有趣。新冠病毒确实引发了很多的讨论，但世界对这件事有什么反应？下次疫情来了，我们该怎么办？请你稍稍谈一下新冠病毒如何影响人们对全球政府和大重置理论的想法。
当然是的， COVID 确实是一切催化剂。事实上在 COVID 大流行之后不久，世界经济论坛的主席克劳斯施瓦布就表示，这次 COVID 疫情大流行正好给他们一个需要的危机，用来控制全球政府，让他们彼此合作成型一个实体。前联合国秘书长波尼布莱尔和波登布朗也公开表示，我们现在需要的是一个世界统一的管制。你需要记住管理 governance 这个关键词，因为这意味着有一小群人基本上要告诉全世界他们当做什么。 COVID 正好给了他们这个机会，因为 COVID 造成了这个全球性的危机，他们便纷纷以不同的方式抓住这千载难逢的机会。我们看到的是他们利用现今媒体的传播技术，快速的把疫情传播到全球每一个角落，全球每一个政府每一个人都认真的进来参与，这可能是历史上几十年来第一次，整个地球都在谈论一件事。从每个国家到每个社区，我们都在同一立场上，这正是他们寻找要抓着那危机和混乱，以便引入一个世界政府。
嗯，有趣的是，在一方面，我们看见人类正在试图修复世界，他们可能完全不知道或没有意识到圣经预言末世的全球政府，但在另一方面，他们试图做的正是在为圣经预言的应验铺路。我知道谈到全球世界政府和掌管着政府的敌基督是一个很大的话题，但是否可以请你略略告诉我们圣经让我们看到什么，以及你认为圣经告诉我们会有什么事情发生？
好的，圣经对人类历史最后日子给出了一个相当清楚的启示，但你必须回到一切的起源，那就是事情背后的属灵因素。这因素给始于天上。我们在以赛亚书第14章中得知，魔鬼撒旦要抵挡神，他要升到神的宝座上，要像至高者一样。当神把他扔下来时，圣经说这世界上的国成了撒旦的国。我们在创世纪11章中看到撒旦试图透过尼禄把地上人类团结起来，建造巴比塔打到天上，但神将他们分散，神不许这些人团结在一起挑战他。但当撒旦在马太福音第4章和路加福音第4章试探耶稣的时候，他向耶稣提供把他拥有世界上的国度给耶稣，只要耶稣肯拜他。撒旦对耶稣说，这些都是我能给你的国度和权柄。有趣的是，耶稣并没有否认撒旦拥有这些地上的国度和权柄。圣经称撒旦为世界的王，为管理地上权柄的王子。耶稣也称他为世界的统治者，所以撒旦现世在控制着地上的这些国家。圣经告诉我们，有一天撒旦要把他地上的国和权柄供给一个人，这个人与耶稣不同，他将会接受这个来自撒旦的提供。启示录13章2-4节，圣经也告诉我们，在末世会有一个由十个国家组成的联盟，代表世界上的各国。这联盟在末世会由一个名为敌基督的人领导和掌管，他会管制世界上的一切事，社会、经济、宗教和道德等等，并且最终他命令人类向兽下拜，这正是撒旦自古以来要达到的野心，被敬拜。所以我们现在看到的只是那个世界一个一体化政府的基础事实。有趣的是，不单是只有一些牧师告诉将来会有全球化的政府，甚至世俗人、异教徒并全球的精英们也在说，我们都希望这些事会发生，所以他们正在积极的推动这个大重置全球政府这个议程。大重置就是拆除现有，然后重建得更好。你们可能没有留意到，许多来自世界上不同国家的代表都在参与这个行动。我们的国家总统拜登就是基于世界经济论坛的座右铭，设计建设更美好的未来， Build Back Better 作为他2020年竞选总统的口号，所以从国内到国际，大家都在一起积极努力参与实现这个大重置。
关于大重置，还有一件更有趣的事，就是耶稣的死和复活会带来真正最完美至终的大重置，只要我们选择正确就行了。有很多人对末后将要发生的事情不知道不明白，感到很混淆。你能从启示录告诉我们末后有什么事情要发生并如何发生吗？
好的，这是很好的问题。圣经启示录19章告诉我们，耶稣基督将要在第二次降临归来时，给他抵挡他的人带来公义的报应。基督会将撒旦扔进无底坑1000年。然后在启示录20章中说到，耶稣基督将在地上统治1000年，他会重置世界。在这1000年里，世界将有和平、繁荣、公义、公正、爱和幸福。最重要的是，我们将能够与爱我们的救主耶稣基督在一起。我认为对于一个基督徒来说，这就是他们向神祈求，愿你的国降临，愿你的旨意行在地上如同行在天上的实现。当耶稣基督回来时，他将会带来伟大的重置，会重置塑造我们的生命。耶稣的大重置与撒旦的大重置是完全不同的，只有创造世界的神能够重置世界和重新塑造那按着自己形象样式精心设计的人类。
好的，最后一个问题，这本书呢名为全球重置，当前事件是否指向敌基督及其全球帝国？当我们回顾这本书的时候，你对读者有什么期望呢？
首先我希望读者得到书中的信息，我们知道越多就越发能够了解即将发生的事情，做好准备。虽然我相信灾前被提，不认为我们会经历这个全球重置的时代，但与此同时，我们需要为耶稣基督的再来做好准备，意识到时间很短暂。我的意思是，我们在地上都有一定的有限的时间，所以要好好的把握时间，充分利用我们的日子侍奉主。我告诉人们，是的，继续生孩子，继续结婚，上大学，做神引导你去做的任何事情，但要以忠诚的心度过每一天。最后，在期待主再来时，我们可以做什么呢？我们每一个人都可以与神建立属灵的联系，透过这连结，我们现在就可以得到个人灵命的重置。我认为这就是我们当做的事。
这是个很好的结束，金立博士，感谢你今天抽出时间来。
我很高兴，谢谢你的邀请。
谢谢艾迪弟兄。
MGC has got talent.
MGC 是有很多人才的。
Okay, thank you. Thank God.
感谢神。
Now we want to conclude today's sermon.
那么我们现在来为今天的讲道做一个总结。
The Bible tells us that in the end time, that deception will be especially great. So great that if not because of God's protection, even God's people would be deceived.
那么圣经告诉我们，在末世，欺骗将特别的严重。若没有神的保守，连神的子民也会被欺骗。
All of these deceptions are instigated by the devil.
那么所有的这些欺骗呢，都是由魔鬼所策动的。
Satan is the father of all liars and the greatest deceiver. He lied to Adam and Eve, deceived them, tempted them to take the forbidden fruit, leading to the fall of mankind.
撒旦是说谎之人的父和最大的欺骗者，他欺骗了亚当和夏娃，引诱了他们吃下禁果，导致人类的堕落。
Deception will come in many ways and many areas.
欺骗呢，会以很多种的方式在许多的领域出现。
Besides false doctrines and fake miracles and wonders, I think the devil's deception also includes some wonders in science and technology, such as artificial intelligence, as well as seemingly good concepts proposed by the United Nations and the World Economic Forum, such as New World Order, Great Reset, and so on.
那么除了错误的教义以及一些虚假的神迹奇事之外呢，我认为魔鬼的欺骗的法术也是包含了一些出现在科学和技术领域的歧视，其中包括人工智能以及联合国和世界经济论坛提出的看似是好的概念，比如说新世界秩序、大重置等等。
In Ephesians 6:11-13, Paul instructed the church to be armed with the full armor of God so that we can take our stand against the devil's schemesWhen the day of evil comes.
在以弗所书6:11-13里，保罗呢指示教会要穿上神的全副军装，以便能够抵挡魔鬼的诡计，在邪恶、险恶的日子来临时。
The devil's schemes point to his deception, and the day of evil points to the end time. So let us heed Paul's instruction.
魔鬼的诡计指的是他的欺骗手段，而邪恶的日子指的就是末世。因此呢，让我们谨记保罗的嘱咐。
This ends our sermon today.
那么我今天讲到就到此为止。我们现在来听福音时。